Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will be continuing our series of studies, and in fact, today we will conclude our series of studies on the topic, Going for the Gold. We're looking at Paul's description and Paul's explanation to us of striving for the masteries and what it means to strive for the masteries in this dispensation of grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 is our starting point, and we encourage you to get your own copy of God's Word, follow along with us in the second chapter of 2 Timothy and verse number 5. As you're turning there, I'll remind you that you are watching Grace Alive, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how to contact us if you have any questions or comments about what you've heard on the program, or if you'd like to receive audio or video cassette tapes, CDs, or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. Just request them. This will be the last week that we offer this series of studies in those ways. So if you'd like to receive them, do write in, do get the copies or call in, whatever you prefer, this week, and request the series on Going for the Gold. We'll get it out to you in whatever format you wish without any cost or obligation. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 5, we read this, "And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." This series of studies, Going for the Gold, is about striving lawfully. And the admonition that Paul makes to us here to strive lawfully so that we might be crowned in our service for him. Now, we've spent a good deal of time in this series of studies just making sure that we understand exactly the context in which Paul says that. He's not talking about our salvation. He's not talking about our position in Christ that we receive by grace through faith. He's talking rather about our service for the Lord after our salvation. We saw in our first week of studies that although we have redemption in Christ Jesus right now, the forgiveness of sins, yet we wait for the redemption of our body. Although we right now have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, yet we wait for, although we have been sanctified right now in Christ Jesus, yet we abstain from fornication so that we can possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. We have a vessel that we need to sanctify, even though in Christ, positionally, we've already been sanctified. So there's this distinction in Paul's epistles between the position that you have in Christ, the position that you have as a result of your faith in him and his gift of salvation to you, the position that you have being justified, sanctified in Christ, and your service for him, which is living out that sanctification, living out that justification, living out that eternal life that he's given you. Now, we talked last week, or the past 2 weeks actually, about that reward. A man is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And we looked at the parameters of the reward. How do we receive a reward for our service? Not a reward, not salvation, but this race that we're in, this striving to allow the life of Christ to live out in our bodies of sinful flesh. How do we receive that reward? Well, first we saw that reward is based on an evaluation of what sort of service we have. That we need to have a service that is full of grace and truth. And that if our service is a service of grace and truth, it doesn't matter what size it is. If our service is a service of grace and truth, it doesn't matter how visible it might be. If our service is a service of grace and truth, then it is rewarded by God. It is a lawful striving for masteries. If it's a work of grace and truth. So our concern and our focus should not be on trying to do something that's big and something that's visible. Now, something that's very big and very visible could, in fact, be a work of grace and truth. But it would be rewarded not because it was big and visible, but because it was, in fact, a work of grace and truth. And you can just as easily do something that's small and unnoticed, maybe only something that you and the Lord know about. And it's still a work of grace and truth. And it'll still be rewarded in the same way that that big work of grace and truth is rewarded, because God's judgment is based upon the sort, not the size of the work. Then secondly, when we talked about the reward, we wanted to understand what the reward was. And what we saw is that that reward is a heavenly authority. Paul says there, a man is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, we run this race to obtain an incorruptible crown. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And we saw last week that in Scripture, a crown is not just an ornament that sits on a king or a queen's head, but a crown represents the authority of that monarch. A crown represents the right to rule and to reign that that monarch has. The crown represents the right that that monarch has to make a proclamation and have it be the word of the king or the word of the queen that will be obeyed. So the crown represents the authority. We saw also last week that our authority, the reward that we get as authority, the place that reward is carried out, is in the heavenlies. And those over whom we have authority is the angelic creation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that ye shall judge angels? So our authority, our position, our conversation, our blessing, is all in the heavenlies. And that involves ruling and reigning over God's heavenly creation. Just as Israel, God's earthly people, are given authority in an earthly kingdom, so members of the church, the body of Christ, are given authority in a heavenly kingdom. Just as individual members of the nation Israel are rewarded for their service with a position in the earthly kingdom, so the members of the church, the body of Christ, are rewarded for our service with a position in the heavenly kingdom. Just as the nation Israel will exercise God's will and God's judgment in the earth, so the church, the body of Christ, will exercise God's will and God's judgment in the heavenly places. It really is a very similar setup and very similar situation with the nation Israel and the body of Christ, except that one, God set aside for the purpose of using to establish His authority on the earth, and the other, He set aside for the purpose of establishing His authority in the heavens. Israel in the earth, the body of Christ in the heavens. Israel's reward, an earthly reward, our reward, a heavenly reward. Israel's reward for service, an earthly authority, our reward for service, a heavenly authority. So the authority is in heavenly places over the angelic creation. Now, today, we want to look at how does a work of grace and truth equip us to have authority in the heavenly places? Because this work of grace and truth, it's more than just, because you've done a work of grace and truth, I give you this position. The issue is more that because you've done a work of grace and truth, you are suited for and prepared for this position. As in Israel's program, when he gave out the talents, there he gave the parable of the talents in his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ did, and he says, you know, I gave one talent, gave five talents, gave ten, did all this. And the men came back, and one had gained more talents, one had just saved the talent he had, and he used that, to determine their position in the kingdom. Well, in like manner, this work of grace and truth, and the experience gained from that work of grace and truth, equips us, prepares us, for a place in God's heavenly kingdom. Let's look at a couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the passage where we find our key verse to start with, verse 5. If a man also strive for mastery, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Jump down to verse 10. Wherein I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says, I'm enduring all things, I'm doing the work of the ministry for the elect's sake, for the church, the body of Christ, that they may obtain salvation with eternal glory. See, the body of Christ already attained salvation, but he says, I want them to have some eternal glory with their salvation. Now remember, grace and truth are God's glory. The definition of glory, God's glory, is grace and truth. Remember, we looked at John chapter 1, verse 14. We beheld His glory, that is the glory of Christ. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's glory manifests itself in His character of grace and truth. So when Paul says, I want you to obtain salvation with eternal glory, he's saying, I want you to attain salvation, and I want you to be able to manifest grace and truth. I want you to have a position of authority manifesting God's grace and truth to the heavenly places for all eternity. That's my desire for you. In verse 11, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Now, what does Paul mean there? Well, if you notice verse 13, first of all, verse 12 and 13 seem to be contradictions. He says in verse 12, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. But in verse 13 he says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. So in verse 12 he says, if you deny Him, He'll deny you. In verse 13, if you deny Him, He'll never deny you. He can't deny Himself. Now, how can, especially so close together, how can he say verse 12 and verse 13 that seem to contradict each other? Well, it goes back to that issue that we discussed as we started this series of studies, your position that you have in Christ by grace, and then your service for Him, which is your work, working out your salvation in fear and trembling. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. That's our salvation. If you wake up tomorrow morning and decide to deny everything that you've ever believed about Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, it doesn't change your standing with God one iota. If you wake up tomorrow morning, take an ad out in the newspaper and say, I repudiate everything I've ever believed about the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, put your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sin, God took you out of Adam, placed you into Jesus Christ, and you are there eternally. And the only way for Him to deny you is to deny Christ. And He cannot deny Christ because the Father and the Son are one, and He cannot deny Himself. So He cannot deny you. That's your position as a believer. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. That reign, that issue in verse 12 is not about your salvation, but about this authority reigning. Reigning in the heavenlies with the authority that you've gotten as your reward. If we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Deny us what? that authority in reigning, it's less reward. If you deny him in the midst of your suffering, then he will deny you the reward of authority. Remember we said, the more reward, the more authority. The less service, the less reward. The less reward, the less authority. If you don't do the work of grace and truth, if you don't do the work that he prescribes, grace and truth, the sort of work, then you're not building up authority for that reigning. Does it mean you won't be there? No. Just as Israel entering into the earthly kingdom, doing something or not doing something with those talents, didn't mean that man wasn't going to make it, that didn't use the talent well, but it just meant he wasn't going to have as high a position of authority. Same holds true of the body of Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to make it into the heavenlies, into God's kingdom established in heaven, but the reigning, the authority, will not be as great if we deny him. If we suffer, we'll reign. If we deny him, he'll deny us that reigning. Now, what does the suffering have to do with it? Well, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What does the suffering have to do with that authority? Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a little moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction, the things that we suffer now, work for us something. What do they work? They work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What's glory? Grace and truth. The suffering now works for us the ability to have the authority to manifest God's grace and truth as our reward in eternity. If we suffer, we reign. Why? Because suffering, light affliction, works a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, grace and truth. So we suffer now. We face that suffering in grace and truth. See, when you suffer, you can do one of two things. You can let it defeat you and deny the Lord. If we deny him, he'll deny us. Or you can go through that suffering in victory, in grace and truth. If you do that, it lays up glory for you, grace and truth for you, and the authority that is your reward in eternity. Turn to Romans chapter 5. And let's see it described in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What is your hope in verse 2? The glory of God. What works more hope in your life? You glory in tribulations. Well, if you're going to glory in tribulations, in sufferings, then what are you going to exhibit in the midst of tribulation? If you're going to glory in tribulation, then that means in the midst of tribulation, you're going to demonstrate grace and truth. You're going to deal with that situation, handle that circumstance in grace and truth, and glory. You'll put some glory into the midst of that tribulation. Grace and truth into the midst of that tribulation. And when you do that, you gain patience, patiently enduring. And you gain experience. I know in this circumstance how grace and truth can work to get me through. and that produces hope. What's your hope? The glory of God. That produces hope. Using grace and truth in the midst of tribulation produces more glory for your authority and your reward in eternity. And that's why it makes not a shame, because you know what that glory is doing. You see, there is an inclination and a trend in Christianity today that if everything's not going well for you, if you're not healthy and wealthy, you should be ashamed because there's some kind of sin in your life. If you don't have enough money, it's because you haven't given enough to God. And the way you need to get some money is give some money. If you give some money, you'll get some money. And you should be ashamed for not giving so that you can get. And if you're weak and sickly, it's because there's unconfessed sin in your life. And you need to get that right and ask God to heal you. And He'll heal you if you're in His will. And if you're not healthy and you're not wealthy and your life's not prosperous, and God hasn't given to you, shaken down, pushed down, shaken together, and running over, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your service. See, Paul right here says just the opposite. There's nothing wrong with your service. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. So, and that hope should make you not ashamed, because you know that that's the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you know that God is working in that tribulation and that suffering to produce some eternal glory so that you can have more authority for your reward in eternity. Because you're being trained now how to manifest God's grace and truth. And if you learn here on this planet how to manifest God's grace and truth, you know, we talk about that illustration from the Gospels about giving the talent. And you give the talent and you know, one man just buried it and one man invested it, one man did other with it. You know what God gives you as your talent? You know what God gives you? Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians, he tells us what it is that God gives us. He says, on behalf of you, it is given not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You know, it's given to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You know what the talent God gives to you today, if you want to use that analogy back to the Gospels there, is suffering. He allows you to suffer. He doesn't deliver you from your suffering, doesn't heal the sicknesses, doesn't fix the financial problems, because that suffering is what builds up for you eternal glory. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things that are seen, but things that are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what He gives you? The forgotten gift of Philippians 1:29, suffering. Suffering that allows you to do a work of the sort God rewards, a work of grace and truth. Suffering that allows you to build eternal glory, which is the building up of grace and truth in your reward, the crown, the authority given to you for you to exercise in eternity future. You see, that's why Paul says, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed if you're suffering, going through hard times, difficult circumstances in your life, financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever the case might be. Do you understand that God gives you those things? Let's go one last passage as we close. You know, and we say God gives you those things. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to give you anything special. He just lets the normal affairs of this life take over. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about chapter 12. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. What is glory? Grace and truth. What did Paul do in his infirmities? I put into practice grace and truth. And when I put into practice grace and truth, that gives me experience that I'll need when I'm given that crown of authority in eternity. Your reward is increased as you face suffering in grace and truth. It's given to you to suffer for His sake. If you have any questions or comments about what you've heard in this series of studies, we invite you to write to us. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. Again, if you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear them. If you'd like to receive audio or video cassettes, CDs or DVDs, please let us know. And until next week, when we begin a brand new series here on Grace Alive, we trust that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.